Well, having a conversation with you that other people could eavesdrop and listen to. And it would just be, you and I talking about Dr. Bowen and how each of us related to him over time. And if the audience wants to listen in and take a reading on our level of differentiation, they're invited to do so. So I'd like to call it, It's More Than Words. Because everybody that listens to the words that you say is going to take a reading on you based on their own life. And they're going to certainly take a reading on me based on their own life. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing to have that happen. Because I think that people will get something out of anyone's reflections on important relationships. That's anybody in your family, anybody that you work with. If a teacher at school reflected on important relationships or asked you to reflect on important relationships, you'd probably get something out mm-hmm. of it. Mm-hmm. So Bowen was an important teacher to me. He was an important mm-hmm. teacher to you. He was tricky. He was paradoxical. And so I just wanted to go back to how you mm-hmm. met Dr. Bowen and what that relationship meant to you in the beginning.
Well, I'll go first.
Okay.
I was at University of Kansas, and my experience with Bowen theory the first day of graduate school was that this totally made sense. And I was in a position at that point in time where my mother had died, and I really didn't even realize the impact that her death had had on me and my individual functioning and the functioning in my family. And my experience of reading the theory totally, you know, captivated me and started putting some form to what was an emotional kind of maelstrom for me. So about my second year, you know, I was my second year in graduate school, what am I going to do? And I was immediately, the beginning of the year, I wrote to Dr. Bowen and asked what I could possibly do.
So you're in your master's, and this is, what year is this?
This is in 1970.
1975.
Not 75, 76.
76.
So I graduated in 78.
Okay.
It was 77, 78. So in that fall of 77, it would have been then, I wrote to Dr. Bowen, and I got a letter back in October. I don't remember the details, but I remember October. And it was a 2-page letter, kind of a page and a half, that related to my interest and talked a little bit about the economic times in D.C. and about jobs, which might be challenging, but invited me basically to do the postgraduate program and kind of talked about what it takes to learn theory. And I, of course, personalized the whole letter and assumed he was personally inviting me to D.C., which, of course, on reading it again is, you know, he was a very... It was personal, but it was, you know.
Take a chance,
you know, come and work. So I came to D.C. after, without a job, and landed in D.C., and then attended the first thing I attended at Georgetown before I even had been accepted was the Human Family Day.
Wow.
And that's actually the first time I remember seeing you, where you were out there doing flipping your hair with your photography. But then it was a problem for me to get into the program because I didn't have any clinical work, and that was a criterion at that point, that you were seeing clinical families. And I think I kind of struck a fancy with Ruth Sager mm-hmm. and Bobby Holt. Bobby Holt was the one that interviewed me, and she liked me, I think, partly because I had a Mennonite background, and she had a Mennonite housekeeper when she grew up, or nanny or something. You know how these important connections happen.
Yeah.
And so Ruth, at that point, in about, I think in October, they invited me to come. I mean, they accepted me into the training program. And then Ruth, I think it was in the beginning of November, perhaps, or at the end of October, asked if I would be interested in assisting Lillian Rosenbaum in the biofeedback program, which was just beginning. But first of all, they couldn't afford to have me there, so they had me as a receptionist, where I got to type these unbelievable letters where somebody would write in to Dr. Bowen that said, you know, please send me the scale of differentiation. And he would write back these very either either tricky or pithy or just these profound, you know, eight sentence paragraph about the basis of his theory. And I probably did maybe 10 or 11 of those, you know, these very amazing theory points. In fact, that's one of the things I think would still be interesting to do, would be to go back and just look at the things that I typed, just me,
yeah,
and look at what those letters were that he had written, because they were, I learned a lot about theory as a receptionist. I think I was going to say something else about this receptionist thing. You know, one of the things that Dr. Bowen thought about as the administrator there and communicated through even to me as a receptionist was that every individual that was a part of that organization had to do a theory. And that I think I remember him saying to Ruth, have Priscilla do the message on the machine. She has clarity and kind of a focus that can communicate what we're trying to communicate here. And I think it was from who answered the phones and who, you know, everybody was a part of that. And everybody participated in theory meetings, and everybody had a responsibility to embody, I guess what I say, what the organization was really trying to communicate. So that was my kind of introduction into the Bowen Center, or what was then the Georgetown Family Center, and my relationship with Dr. Bowen. At the early parts, I don't think until, I would say, the first two years or so, I was a little on the intimidated side by him. And, you know, of course, appreciated being there and was connected to Lillian Rosenbaum and had a lot of opportunity, more than I could imagine, you know, which is kind of a characteristic of that emotional group, I think, or that organization, was that you take off where you can take off. This is an opportunity and you do what you can.
Yeah.
And it certainly worked for me, and it was an opportunity to, you know, to work in the biofeedback, to learn something I really didn't have any interest in initially, and develop within 2 years a training program that was nationally known. And, you know, it just had a lot of opportunity that the tone setter for that whole group, of course, was Dr. Bowen, and kind of living this. And those opportunities really, you know, challenged but gave a lot of room to what was possible. And just let you go.
I can relate to that. I can also think about the first time I met Bowen and how important that was, and how interesting it is that the first time you met Bowen, although you personalized it, was through a letter, through the words. And yet the title of this series is It's More Than Words. And what happened the very first time you laid your eyes on him? What happened when you met his human body and his little brain tick-tocking away? What was that like?
I think I was more intimidated, I have to say. I was just kind of, there are a couple situations that I think he kind of played with me.
with you at the Human Family Day
No, it wasn't there. I think it was introducing, it was at some of the one, not a meeting, but a social occasion at the Bowen Center, where he was introducing me to his daughter, I think, who had graduated from University of Kansas as well. And I was, you know, I was flummoxed. He was kind of welcoming me into kind of a connection with parts of his family and stuff. And I have to say, I was bumbling. I don't think I really connected with him. I appreciated him around the edges and really learned a lot. I mean, I would go to clinical conference series, which I probably got the most out of, learning about theory. And I think it took, when I first went, I could probably stay awake about a half hour. And I would sleep through the entire time, kind of overwhelmed by the
twilight learning.
Exactly. But I think the first time I really had a personal connection to him was when he ended up in the hospital. And I went to visit him there.
What year was that?
I think this was the second hospitalization, so I think it was 83. So I'd had conversations with him, but I didn't really, it wasn't one-on-one personal. I was a little intimidated by that. So I went, and he was watching Lucille Ball. And he was laughing, and You know, he kind of, his eye, sparkling eyes kind of just, you know, greeted me. It was kind of sluggish. And we didn't say much. I just kind of held his hand. He and I held hands as we were watching and laughing with Lucille Ball. And then I started visiting him in the hospital, and then it got to be a little bit more personal, even though it wasn't about conversation, believe me. It was more about this, you know, just kind of connecting in a way that was genuine and kind of real.
Okay. Well, I know we're getting approaching 10 minutes here into the very first podcast, and we don't want it to go more than 12 minutes, because that's as long as our poor audience can pay attention. They're going to fall asleep too. So I wondered, what was the central point that drew you into the, because it sounds more like you were drawn into the theory itself, into the way he expressed the theory and wrote about the theory. That's what captured your attention.
Right.
Was through knowledge.
Right.
What's the most important part that caught your attention?
You know, I think it was very basic. I have to be honest. You know, when I first heard the theory, I did not connect my miserable emotional self with the fact my mother had died. I know it just sounds unbelievable that you wouldn't connect those things.
It sounds
But it did
normal.
Not. It did not connect for me. And it was actually 5 years after my mother had died, and I had hit a kind of a remarkable emotional eddy. But I found my way to school.
Okay.
I found my way, and I knew that was kind of a pull into something concrete. And I was introduced to Bowen theory within the first 2 weeks of graduate school, and it made sense. I was having a lot of physical symptoms. I laid on my back the whole first semester.
Yeah.
You know, as I was kind of integrating these ideas of what really the impact was of the emotional group I was a part of, a cut-off group of people that, you know, my reflection of that was because kind of a submerged emotional self who was trying to go to graduate school. And I loved graduate school. It was like the first time I could really learn. But Bowen theory was a real pivot point, and that kind of hit the light for me, and I was off and running. It wasn't him, it was more definitely the theory
the
that
theory.
Got my attention.
So family reaction to death, he used to call that, and that probably also was the events around which I was drawn into the theory too, is the need to understand what happens to your personal functioning when important people die, that you have no idea how your functioning is tied to that of others. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there are other things that you'd like to say. Next time we'll put a little bit about the first time I met Dr. Bowen, but this time was important. And maybe, you know, after both of us listen to this, we can write up some other thoughts about it or talk about it and then go to the next event. But I hope this will be a fascinating series. I hope not too many people get mad at us. Because
or the more the merrier.
That'll show how successful it is. And if no one cares, then at least we've had fun.
We had fun.
All right.
All right. Till the next time.
Thank you.